blessing reading His Word. And I just hope I read it the way the good Lord wants me to. We're in Psalms 34, and there are 22 verses. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Amen.
Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Amen.
Verse 4, they looked unto Him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in Him.
Yes, yes.
Verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Amen. Verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil.
Yes.
And thy lips from speaking guile.
Yeah.
That verse right there is a, all of God's verses are really good, but that verse right there really sticks to me.
My mom said, yeah, I got something good to say about somebody.
Our tongue is something else, brother.
Mm. Oh my.
It's an unruly eagle.
Amen. Sure is. That's what James said. Yeah.
Of course, I always wonder, you know, when the Lord says, cut off anything that offends thee. I mean, can you imagine cutting your tongue off, brother?
That verse right there puts a finger on
Amen.
The problem.
Amen, it does, I tell you. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous,
yes.
And His ears are upon, His ears are open unto their cry.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Amen.
Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Yeah.
Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Out of them all.
Amen. Verse 20, He keepeth all His bones, not one of them is broken.
Yeah.
Keepeth all His bones. Verse 21.
That's reference to Christ.
Yes, sure is. Every evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hateth the righteous shall be desolate.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trusteth in Him shall be desolate.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. See if this thing keep working. I may have hit it, heck, I don't know. All right, I like that scripture. Very good scripture. Says, I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, somebody said, what's a good time? All the time's a good time. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That word continually goes along with all times. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for this and time for that. But all the time, is supposed to be blessing the Lord and continually praise in our mouth towards Him. I tell you, we can't never praise Him enough. We can't never bless Him enough or thank Him enough. So we're kind of playing catch up anytime we even try to praise God or give glory to Him. And verse 2 says, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." The humble need to hear.
That's right.
They need to hear you over there praising God. They need to hear you bragging on your Savior. "Well, my Jesus is bigger than cancer." You know, I've heard a lot of statements. I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things, but some of them are just profound, where people in the worst circumstances still praising God. I'm just telling you, that's the perfect time to praise God when it's in the worst case scenario. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. It's well with my soul. Somebody wrote a song, "It's well with my soul." Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what that's saying there. And it says, "The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." You know, the humble, they're kind of quiet. They don't say a whole lot, but they hear a lot. "The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." That's the goal, is exalting the Lord. And here it talks about exalting His name together. Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses, I think it's John chapter 3, verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And then in John chapter 12, He said, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men," lifted up from the earth, "be draw all men unto me." I was drawn to Him. Somebody told me about Him, and I needed to hear it, Bonnie. As a matter of fact, a man told me about Jesus at work, Wendell Shaw. I didn't want to hear it, I just needed to hear it. And I didn't forget him caring enough about me to try to tell me. And when I did hear a preacher preach a word of God and got convinced of the fact that I was a lost sinner and got convicted of my sins, before I got converted, I run Wendell Shaw down and he told me what I need to do to get saved. So, I tell you, we need to speak off about the Lord. Wendell, he'd start talking about Jesus. Donnie, I'd walk away. I'd let him know I didn't want to hear. And I'd talk about things that he didn't want to hear, and he'd walk away, let me know he didn't want to hear. But me and Wendell had a lot in common. We loved hunting arrowheads together. And so we had a mutual bond there. Me and Donnie, we liked hunting arrowheads together. Me and Wendell went a lot, just like me and Donnie do. But Wendell always kind of respected me and always tried to respect him. But when I got so convicted of my sins, and you know, I was needing to be saved, I'd done something, I don't know if anybody's ever done this or not, but I went in the foreman's office at R.R. Donnelly and Sons, with the foreman in there, whose name was the foreman's name was Jimmy Hurston, and the pressman, my pressman, was Wendell Shaw. They's both in there talking about printing. And I opened the door and interrupted their conversation. They looked at me, I said, "Look, I'm going to hell. I need somebody to tell me how to be saved." And you talking about an interruption. And the foreman, he quoted all kind of scripture to me, like Donnie's favorite verse, Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," or Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," or Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." But you see, the Bible says a natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. And the Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Now, with the opportunity in that foreman's office, Foreman quoting scripture to me, a lost man comes in and says, I'm going to hell. Somebody tell me how to be saved. Wendell said, Eddie, I want us to step outside right now. I want to talk to you. That's pretty good. We went outside there, Brother James, in the hallway there between the foreman's office door and the men's restroom door, people brushing our shoulders on each side. And Wendell Shaw gave me the greatest illustration I guess I ever heard in my life. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. He's just waiting for you to ask Him to do it. And he put it in his terms here, Brother Mitchell. He said, if your little boy done something wrong, and he come to you and said, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, I'd forgive him. He said, it's the same way with God. Just go tell Him you're sorry. Boy, that simplified the problem I had about being lost and what I need to do to be saved. It put it so simple, I couldn't wait to do it. I mean, I drove home from Donnelly's Highway 6880 to 9000 Ebony Road, walked in the front door, went to the back bathroom, and I knelt down back there, Sister Sharon, and I still remember the prayer I prayed. I said, Dear Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me that if I would ask you, you would forgive me my sins and you would save my soul. And I said, Lord, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. And to my amazement, and amazement of everybody else, lo and behold, God wondrously, gloriously saved me right there in my bedroom. How do you know you saved, Brother Eddie? I knelt down convicted and condemned of my sins. When the Lord saved me, and I want everybody to understand this, immediately the peace of God took the place of that condemnation and that guilt. And boy, it was wonderful. And the joy of being saved was wonderful. I wish I could go through it again. But it's so wonderful to have that forgiveness, to know that your sins have been forgiven. And I went over and looked in the mirror. I guess I thought I was going to have a halo or something. I didn't have no halo. But the Bible says many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. It was simple.
That's right.
Wendell made it where even I could understand it. And that's what we got to do. We got to keep it simple. Rita reached out to these children this week, Vacation Bible School, and she didn't talk over their head. She brought it down. I mean, their level, boy. Work with what you got. Amen.
Amen.
I sought the Lord and He heard me. That's what I did. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And Jesus said, Him that cometh unto me, I'll nowise turn away. I'm just telling you, the Lord won't. He come this world to save sinners. He wants people saved. He didn't put no roadblocks up. He tore them out of the way. And we can come to Him any time of the day, any day of the week. I'm telling you, we can come to Him and call upon Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You see, I was afraid of going to hell. Hell is a deterrent. Nobody wants to go to hell. I had my brother-in-law tell me one time, he said, and I was witnessing to him, he done had it up to here, you know. He said, I want to go to hell. I said, is that right? His name's Garrett. I said, Garrett, is that right? You want to go to hell? And he said, yeah, I want to go to hell. He's just trying to get me to shut up and get off his back. I mean, I had more zeal than I had since when I first got saved, Brother James. If you came in my house, you was going to hear Genesis to Revelation before you left. Well, anyway, he said, I want to go to hell. And I said, you don't mind proving that, do you? He said, yeah, I will. What do I need to do? I turned that kitchen range on high, and it got good and cherry red. And I said, Garrett, just lay your face on that burner, and you'll prove to me you want to go to hell. He fell down right in front of that kitchen stove and asked God to forgive him. Asked God, he realized just how big a fool he was. I said, Garrett, that won't kill you. That'll give you a scar, give you a superficial burn. I said, in hell, they're tormented forever and ever. He fell down right there in the kitchen. Now, whether he got saved or not, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. Hell is a deterrent.
Yes, it is.
I can remember as a 10-year-old boy, like some of the boys that Rita talked with this week, I can remember being afraid of closing my eyes. Afraid I'd wake up in hell. Hell's a deterrent.
Yeah.
And here it says, I sought the Lord. He's not hard to find. He's never very far from any one of us. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. You know, he that formed the ear, the Bible says, shall he not hear? He can hear the smallest whimper.
Yes.
He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I don't have any fears no more. I have to admit, I'm bulletproof right now. The Bible said no weapon formed against me can prosper. Now, President Trump, he just recently got his ear clipped there by a bullet. If he hadn't turned his head, or if God hadn't turned his head, I'm not going to get in that. I don't know if God reached down there and said, I'm not done with him. Or if he just, like me, talked so much, moved so much, he couldn't hit a moving target. But I do believe that bullet that grazed President Trump's head wasn't from the 20-year-old. I believe the 20-year-old was a distraction from the marksman that put that kill shot on the president. That was dead on. And I can't prove that neither. But I'll tell you this. I'm not afraid of any weapon anymore.
Amen.
No weapon formed against me can prosper. You shoot me with a bazooka, I'm still going to heaven. Hey, you get one of them, what they call them, suicide bombers or whatever it is, you know, Allah Akbar, and they pull the rope, everybody gets blown to pieces, I'm still going to heaven.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, we don't have nothing to fear, and don't get me wrong, every now and then you get surprised, scream like a little girl. I forgot, something happened to me the other day, I can't remember what it was, but I screamed just like a little girl, amen. I remember one night I was going home from work, from Omnicare, and I was in that old junky truck of mine, had the windows down, and I moved along pretty good, and there was a plastic garbage bag, or one of the shopping bags, and behind me, and the wind got it, and it come up between the seats and jumped up and down in front of my face about three times, and it was upside down, looked just like a ghost right in front of me. I screamed bloody murder. Things like that, you know, I have to admit, I still do a little.
Well, did I scream like bloody murder when you went off the roof of that boat behind you? Did I scream like a little girl then? You slid driving going down the road?
Me and Donnie been through a lot of escapades. He was worried, but I wasn't. I was asleep, amen? But he delivered me from all my fears. My greatest fear was going to hell.
Yeah.
My greatest fear was standing before God and being judged. Now, when I stand before God, I've got an advocate, a lawyer, a good one too, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's going to advocate for me. Even though I deserve hell, he's going to say, Father, this is one that I died for. This is one that loves me. This is one that accepted my offering. And I want him forgiven. I want him to be pardoned. And we got abundantly pardoned at Calvary, amen. Mm-hmm. But I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There's people today in terrible fear. They take drugs.
Right.
They drink. They do a lot of things, try to cope with that fear. I only know one cure for fear, and that's just get right with God.
Right.
And it'll make a big difference in all that stuff. He says, they looked unto him and were lightened. He's the light, John said, that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. I walked in darkness for 34 years, Bonnie, but I've walked in the light of his countenance now for 36 years. And I praise God for April 27th, 1988. They looked unto him and were lightened. We're children of light. I was a child of darkness. Boy, I'll tell you, man, the devil had a close relationship. He was pretty proud of me. I'd do just about anything that he, I guess, suggested I do. I'd do it with, you know, I guess some degree of perfection. But now I don't do his bidding no more. I walk in the light as he's in the light. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in lights, he's in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But he lightened me. And their faces were not ashamed. Jesus said, you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you.
Right.
There was a time that, you know, when I first got saved, I didn't have that boldness I got now. And I would kind of mumble a little bit, you know, and what'd you say? You know, just couldn't stand up to any pressure. But now I've grown in the Lord and matured in the Lord, and And now the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. I'd stand toe to toe. And I've had some rough confrontations about people that were dogmatic about something, you know, that had no salvation in it. And you try to reason with them out of the Scriptures, try to tell them otherwise. Well, He delivered me. And their faces were not ashamed. I like this verse 6. This poor man cried. David said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I'll tell you, that verse is true. I had a man call me one day, a millionaire man. I was on the back porch praying, and I was in a strait. I had to come up with $1,000. Had to come up with it that day. And back there on the back porch, and all I know to do was pray about it. And I come back here and I said, Lord, You told me when I had a need to bring it to You. And Lord, I got a need. And about that time, I had my phone on my belt here. I had a little small flip phone. And it started ringing. And then my, righteous indignation, whatever you want to call it. I wasn't going to stop praying, Brother Jerry, to answer that phone. So I just kept on praying. And that phone kept on ringing. And I finally got in the flesh. Amen. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll be right back. I answered that phone real hatefully. Hello! Somebody on that phone said, what's going on? I said, what do you mean what's going on? He said, the Lord just put You on my heart. What's going on? He was getting pretty affirmative. And I said, well, I was just praying. He said, about what? I've got to go have hip replacement surgery tomorrow. About what? And I said, I'm just praying about something. He said, look, I need to know what you're praying about.
Amen.
And I knew this man. He was that foreman. I went in that foreman's office that day. It was Jimmy Hurston who it was. I said, well, Brother Jimmy, I was just telling the Lord I needed some money. He said, how much do you need? And I thought, what's going on here? Carolyn, I said, I need $1,000. I need it today. He said it'd be underneath my office in an envelope hung up on me. Well, when he hung up, the devil come on the scene, and I had a yellow streak on my back about as wide as that canoe, and the devil said, you're the biggest fool in Barron County if you believe that. Now, y'all might think I'm exaggerating here, but he told me to go up there and get it. Next day, I started up there, or maybe, yeah, I believe it was, he told me to go up there next day. And I started up there. And I'm driving like 5 miles an hour, and the devil's in the car with me there. You know, he said, you're a fool. You're a fool. You know you're wasting your time. And Bonnie, I drove up there. And Jimmy told me, he said, Eddie'd be underneath my office behind a little wooden door there at the back. And my hand trembled so much when I slid that little slide over and opened that door. And sure enough, behind that door was an envelope with 10 $100 bills in it. That's not all. Jimmy's helped me a bunch.
Amen.
I had a phone call not too long ago. I was thinking about all this morning, driving up here to church. Lord, who am I? Had a man call me. He seen me broke down at a Shell filling station. Called me and said, what's going on? I said, my car quit on me. He said, come see me Monday. I didn't know what. I went up there to him and he said, here. It's in your name. It's done been licensed. Taxes done been paid. It's in your name. Like never figured out even how to drive the thing out there. I don't understand this stuff. I don't understand it. I can't put it in any terms that would make any sense. Except this verse right here. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. And saved him out of all his troubles. I didn't really think I needed a car. Of course, that old van had over 300,000 miles. It still ran, but it wasn't running the day that it broke down on me there. And evidently, the Lord caused it to break down and caused me to be put on His heart. I can't explain it. I can't.
Amen.
God's ways are past finding out. I can't explain it.
Amen.
Poor man cried. The Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and deliver him. If you're saved, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
That's right.
Amen. I know there's a lot of things going on right now this election year. Yeah, I guess you can tell I'm Republican. Amen. Republicans ain't going to save us.
That's right.
But I can't hardly handle no more gay pride flags between two American flags. I can't handle no more room 219 or 216 where they engaged in a homosexual act and videotaped it on purpose and leaked it on purpose just to insult the integrity of this blessed nation. I can't handle it no more. I can't handle no more bare breast on the White House lawn. I can't handle no more gay pride marches, gay pride this, gay pride that.
Amen.
Look, they need to get right with God.
That's right.
They say it's homosexuality sin. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I can take a Bible and prove it. There's a lot of sins in there. That's one of them. Matter of fact, it's so bad a sin, God called it an abomination in His sight. He that created us, made us in His likeness, made us male and female for a reason. Amen.
That's right.
The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. We don't have to worry about election this year. God's got, He can put whatever He wants to in there. For all I know, some of the stuff we're enduring may be judgment. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I just know this. It's well my soul. I know Him that inhabits eternity, and I put everything in His hands.
That's right.
And I'm just going to trust. Old song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen.
That's what we got to do.
That's right. Amen.
Now, like this verse 8, oh, taste, woo, and see.
Amen.
That the Lord is good. You know, I have to admit, I had never tasted before April 27th, 1988. And them hamburgers was good yesterday, Carolyn. And them hot dogs was good. And all of that was good they had out there. I sampled a little bit of everything. The watermelon was good. The marshmallow was good. But I had never tasted anything like what I tasted April 27th, 1988.
Amen.
And I have to admit, I liked it so much, I got in the buffet line. I didn't want just a sample of it. You can sup with the Lord as much as you want, anytime you want. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. I think we got six senses. One of them is taste. One of them is touch. And, you know, we got sight and hearing. And man, I remember all of them in school, but I can't remember all of them now. But I like the taste sense.
Amen.
I tasted something that day, Brother Mitchell, that you can't get nowhere else. It ain't like you can call Amazon and say, I want some of this. It ain't like you can go to Walmart. Say, matter of fact, Rural Kings become little Walmart. I find out you can get stuff there. 24 pack of water, there's $2 and something. So you know I go over and get about six of them cases of water. Cheaper than you can buy one some of these other stores. But I tasted something that day and I wanted more. Matter of fact, I got saved April 27th, 1988 and I was determined to read my Bible through before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And to my amazement and the amazement of everybody else, I did complete that task. And I spent more time down on my knees that year. And I still spend a lot of time down on my knees. But I remember I'd read a little while reading and I'd say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I'd read a little while, I'd say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize how sorry I was until I read the Bible through. I mean, I'm sorry. But I got to see what Eddie Wade looked like in God's mirror. I've been seeing what Eddie looked like in his mirror. But you see yourself in the mirror of the Word of God, you'll see, boy, you got a lot of flaws. Amen. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God supplies all of our need out of His riches and glory. And if you got a need, God already knows about it.
That's right.
And the Bible says, Donnie's favorite verse, Psalms 34, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, Wait, I say, on the Lord, and He'll bring it to pass. 27, that's what that is, ain't done. I'll quote the wrong one there. Yeah, Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Best way to get patience is just wait for it. Mm-hmm. Amen. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. This made me think about Vacation Bible School here, verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's what Rita invested this week in the hearts mm-hmm. of the children that were here, Vacation Bible School. And boy, she done a good job.
Amen.
I mean, she done a good job.
Yep.
I mean, I saw the evidence of it, not only in the end last night when they had fun day, but I saw it also Wednesday night. They's a coloring. They's a having the time. And you know, they're children. We need to remember that. Everybody wants children to grow up. When they grow up, they wish they's back children. Let them stay children as long as they can.
Right.
Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Children have to be taught, and they have to be taught right. Amish don't even let their children learn English until they've taught them
right.
everything they need to know. And then they let them learn what English is. I wish we had enough sense to do something like that.
Right.
Our schools, right now, they're in disarray. Elon Musk just pulled out his space program and his electric car program out of California, and he's moving to Texas because the governor of California, Newton, hold on a minute here. Newsom. He changed the laws of California that parents aren't allowed to know what their children are being taught, and the children aren't allowed to tell their parents what they're being taught. And Elon Musk said it's the last straw with him. He said, I've had it with California. Might be a lot of money in California, but California is taking a hit from some of the decisions that Newton's making there. And, you know, he's in the category of what Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. They're considering him take the president's place. I'm concerned about that myself. Verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? You know, you can have the blessing of God. You can have length of days. Peter commented on these here in 1 Peter chapter 3. Somebody said the difference between Old Testament and New Testament is the New Testament explains the Old Testament. Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter's actually commenting on these very verses that we're going to read right here. And he says, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. And his lips, if they speak no guile. My mama used to tell me, if you ain't got something good to say about somebody, just keep your mouth shut. Amen. That kind of went in one ear and out the other ear, but she was more right. But here it says, finally, verse 8, finally be of one mind, having compassion one of another. You know, we've got smash and grab. We've got public beatings and killings and stabbings. Finally, be y'all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise. Blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him skew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And he says, and who is he that will harm you if he follows that which is good? It makes a difference. And we'll read down to verse 16 here, because they go together. It says, keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord, are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I'm just telling a lot of people in the early grave just because they wouldn't do right.
Yeah.
I always tried to do right. I didn't always do right, but I always tried to. And some of the ones I growed up with, they didn't do right. They ain't here today. You can just provoke the Lord so far. I tell you, Ananias and Sapphira, they figured it out. They got an early grave. They thought they could fool the church, and they did fool the church. They didn't fool God. They should have left that alone. Amen. Verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Hallelujah. Job said in Job 14, verse 1, man is born of woman's a few days, and they're full of trouble, Sister Faith.
Right.
And he delivereth them out of all their troubles. Hallelujah. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. You know, you may think, nobody cares about me. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Young girl, about like a lot of them today, been taught, confused, took a gun, put it to her head, pulled the trigger, and it didn't kill her immediately, but she was in a pool of blood. People gathered around her, gawking, looking at her there, laying there, and an old preacher, snow white hair on his head, Brother Mitchell, came by and come through the crowd, see what everybody's looking at, and there laid this beautiful young girl there on the ground, and she's dying. And he wept, said, honey, why did you do it? Why did you do it? She said, preacher, nobody cared about me. Nobody loves me. He said, honey, surely your mother loves you. She said, she didn't show it. He said, well, honey, surely your daddy loves you. She said, he didn't show it. He said, well, honey, surely your brothers and sisters love you. And she said, they didn't show it. He said, honey, I love you. She said, you didn't show it. And Bonnie, the light came on. And he said, honey, Jesus loves you. And she kept her mouth shut. She didn't have an answer for that one. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and save us such that as be of a contrite spirit. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, the Lord exalts the humble, giveth grace to the humble, but he resisteth the proud. Stay humble. Verse 19, many, how many? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, Bonnie, delivereth them out of them all. He sets the captive free. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. Verse 20, he keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. And you can find that in John chapter number 19, verse 36. And it talks about the scripture fulfilled, that not a bone of him would be broken. Well, I did get the wrong one. Hold on a minute here. John 19. I was in John 20, no wonder. It says here, these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, that a bone of him shall not be broken. And another scripture fulfilled, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Verse 37 says there. But he keepeth all his bones. This is kind of where the Bible is. Sometimes it jumps back and forth. This is a reference to Christ. This is a prophecy. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Verse 21. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. You know, you reap what you sow. I just tell you, you go sow seeds of kindness, and you'll reap kindness.
Yeah.
I was at Ollie's yesterday. I ran out of coffee. I finally remembered to go get some. I've been trying to remember myself, but I used my last one yesterday morning. So I went by there, and while I'm at Ollie's, this song come on, and the song said, "Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?" You know what came to my mind when I heard that, Brother James? All right, bringing in the sheaves, hallelujah. When I heard that song, "Why Can't We Be Friends?" Brother Patrick, I thought about the scripture that says, "He that hath friends must show himself to be friendly." If you want friends, be friendly. Don't run them off. Hey, everybody's got problems. You know what a friend does? They look over your problems. You ain't got no hair, they look over it. You got teeth missing, they don't mind. They're your friend. He that hath friends must show himself to be friend. That's what came to my mind when I heard that song, "Why Can't We Be Friends?" You got to show yourself to be friendly and have friends. But you know, when you know some Bible, it'll help you understand some of this stuff. Let's see, I think we're at the last verse there. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate." That's a promise from God.
Amen.
None of them.
Amen.
Well, Brother Eddie, you know, I'm just a little different. No, you're not. No. The Lord's rich unto all. Yeah. He calls it to rain on the just, on the unjust. We got some mercy drops yesterday. Amen. But the Bible also says that rebellious people dwell in a dry land that ain't necessarily rain.
Amen.
It's just talking about you could have the blessing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, He told Israel, He said, "Your sins have withheld good things from you." Proverbs 14, verse 34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." We just got to get right with God. One thing America needs to do, it needs to do what 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." I'm just telling you, Psalms 9, verse 17, "All the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell." God don't miss. He keeps good records. But if you want this blessing right here, He says, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate." If you're in desolate condition, go talk to God. Say, "We need to talk. I want to get right. I don't want to be desolate. I want to be blessed. I want to be happy." I think it's Psalms 144, verse 15. I think, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Yea, happy is that people in such a case. All right. Has anybody got any questions about Psalm 34? I didn't realize they're going to go that far in that thing.
You know, you spoke of that song that is well.
Yeah.
"Well in my soul." I forget the man who wrote that. Him and his wife and a bunch of people was on a big ship.
Now he stayed back. The wife and the children went on the ship.
Went under. But he made it back.
Yeah.
Later on,
the wife,
he asked the guy, "Could he take him back?" He said, "I got you close."
Yeah.
He took him back. Of course, they had all the instruments on a boat. He said, "This is about as close as I know."
Yeah.
Before it went down. He stood and looked out over the water.
Amen, Brother James.
"This is well in my soul." Come back and sit down and wrote that song.
He went down below the deck and wrote that song. His wife sent him a text.
Yeah.
And the text was a two-word text.
Yeah.
"Saved alone." And that's the way life is.
Yeah.
It's got some ripples.
Yeah.
Rough places. God will get you through it.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Be dismissed. You need to go to the bathroom. Give you the chance.